Today, home lending spin and reality. Hello again, I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to the latest post covering finance and problem news with a distinctively Australian flavour. According to the Australian Bureau of Statistics lending indicators, data for October, the total value of new loan commitments for housing rose 0.7% to $22.7 billion in October in seasonally adjusted terms. Now that was a lot weaker than was predicted. Many were talking about a 2% rise over the month, and this was partially explained by a bigger than expected COVID-related decline in Victoria. Actually, Victorian finance approvals recorded another hefty 11.1% fall to be down 17.5% in 2 months. That's slightly bigger than the 16.2% drop during the initial COVID lockdown earlier in the year. This fall highlights the difficulties in assessing the scale and timing of COVID-related impacts. The total value of approvals, excluding Victoria, was actually up 4.7% from last month, up 16.4% over the last 2 months, and 27% higher above the pre-COVID peak at the start of the year. The strength is broadly based, with gains of 5.1% in New South Wales, 3% in Queensland, and 6-8% in the other states. In most cases, to record multi-year highs. And finance approvals for the year to date are up 10 to 17% on the same time last year for every state, including Victoria. So it's worth reflecting on this. When the gross loans grew only slightly, according to the earlier RBA data, where home loan balances grew 3.3% over the last year. So while new loans may be being written, others are being paid down, and overall lending growth is still anemic. At this point, we should look at the caveats in the ABS data. In the lending indicators publication, a borrower accepted commitment is reported when the borrower signs the formal loan offer from an authorised deposit-taking institution. Council-approved plans are not required by all ADIs prior to loan approval. However, the plans must be provided before the first progress payment is drawn, usually on completion of the foundations. That is, the borrower-accepted commitment is likely to occur before the building approval is issued. Also contributing to the timing differences is that around 5% of building approval records received by the ABS are approved prior to the reference period. So a record that was approved in May, for example, may only be provided later to the ABS. And the late provisioning of building approval records can occur, for example, when the building approval has been privately certified or the council is not notified of the decision until weeks or even months later. And off the plan purchases are most common in apartment developments, but can apply to low and medium density developments, sometimes referred to as turnkey packages. A key difference between the previous scenario and the off the plan purchases is the timing of settlement. In off the plan developments, the prospective owner will typically pay the builder a deposit prior to construction commencing, with the balance payable on completion of the dwelling. Since the developer is not receiving payments from the prospective owners through a construction loan as work progresses, the developer may need to arrange their own finance to fund the project. And then they go on to say that the first borrower behaviour and lender processing times have been strongly affected by the COVID-19 pandemic over the last 6 months, which is impacting the month-on-month movements. Some lenders are reporting to the ABS current purchasing times mean that a portion of loan commitments reported in this month actually were submitted perhaps 2 months earlier, while personal finance commitments more closely reflect loan applications submitted in the reference period. And then the lending indicator trend series has been suspended by the ABS. They did that from March 2020 onwards. The trend series, they say, will be reinstated when more certainty emerges in the underlying trend in lending. Their trend series attempts to measure underlying behaviour in lending activity in the short term, by changes to regular patterns in lending that will occur during this time, as potential home buyers face uncertainty about their job security, for example. If the trend estimates in this publication were to be calculated while fully accounting for this irregular event, they would most likely provide a misleading view of underlying lending activity, and it may be some time before the underlying trend in lending activity can be accurately estimated. So they decided to run with seasonally adjusted numbers, but even here, it's worth listening to what they say. Lending indicators use the concurrent season adjustment method, meaning that seasonal factors are re-estimated each time a new data point becomes available. If not appropriately accounted for, unusual real-world events such as COVID-19 can distort estimates calculated using this method. From April 2020, seasonal factors are being calculated using data up to and including March 2020, then projected from April 2020 onwards. This approach, known as the forward factor method, ensures that the seasonal factors are not distorted by COVID-19 impacts. So, in practice, they're making some significant adjustments based on pre-COVID trajectory. So if we put all that together, what we can conclude is that there are a number of vagaries within the data. So in some cases, commitments are made without loans being drawn down. There are various seasonal adjustments being made on some strange bases. And for the reason we've also highlighted, some reporting will be delayed. So we should be a bit cautious about this data to start with, in my view. So now let's look at how some of the media reported the story. The AFR ran with home building loans hit new record high on HomeBuilder. And senior reporter Michael Blaby wrote HomeBuilder and other housing incentives push loans for new home building up 10.9% in October, making the fourth straight month of increase since the federal government program was announced in July. The increase pushed the value of loan commitments up to $2.85 billion, a new high since records began in 2002, and was the biggest contributor to the 0.8% overall increase in new owner-occupied housing loans. The federal government's $25,000 home builder payment extended in duration this week, and state-based payment schemes have put a rocket under detached housing construction, prompting Mirvac boss Susan Lloyd-Hurwitz to tell the Australian Financial Review the industry wasn't able to meet the greater-than-expected demand. Even with a reduction in the value of home builder to $15,000, demand is likely to remain strong. We do not expect this to be the peak of the cycle, Housing Industry Association economist Angela Lillycrap said. HIA new home sale data suggests that detached housing finance approvals will continue to be strong over the coming months. The extension of Home Builder will see strong results carry over into 2021. Overall, however, the official lending data reflected a more subdued month, with total new loan commitments, excluding the refinancing of existing loans, ticking up by just 0.7% from September to $22.7 billion in October. Investor loan commitments barely changed, rising just 0.3% to $5.3 billion, while first home buyers recorded the biggest increase, rising 3.1% to $5.5 billion. The strength of demand, which pushed detached new home approvals in October up to their highest monthly total in almost 20 years, is also encouraging new investment. Separate industry figures on Thursday showed the slew of public incentives are keeping builders busy, with the performance of construction index showing house, build and new detached orders rising to record highs in November. And then this is how Mortgage Business reported the story. They titled it New Loan Commitments Reach Record High, ABS. The total value of new loan commitments for housing and the number of loans for the construction of new dwellings have reached record levels, according to the ABS. According to the ABS, the total value of new loan commitments for housing rose 0.7% to $22.7 billion in October in seasonally adjusted terms. This is a 31.2% increase from last year. The value of new owner-occupied home loan commitments rose 0.8% to $17.4 billion in October, more than 30% higher than October 2019. And the value of owner-occupied home loan commitments rose in all states and territories except Victoria and the ACT. Victorian owner-occupied home loan commitments fell 9.3% in season-adjusted terms in October, which has been attributed to decreased housing market activity in August and September due to the imposition of Stage 4 restrictions in Melbourne and Stage 3 restrictions in the rest of Victoria to curtail the second wave of the coronavirus. The value of commitments for existing dwellings for residential land fell in Victoria, which the ABS said was partially offset by rises in commitments for construction of new dwellings and for the purchase of newly erected buildings. The ABS Head of Finance and Wealth noted that commitments for the construction of new dwellings rose 10.9% across the country and was the largest driver of the rise in owner-occupied housing loan commitments. The value of construction loan commitments has risen by 65.6% since July, which coincides with the June 2020 implementation of the government's home builder grants in response to COVID-19. Feedback from lenders was that there had been a large increase in first home buyers applying for these construction loans over the past few months. The number of loans for the construction of new dwellings increased by 11.5% in October to 6,631 and represents an 82.8% increase from this time last year. And the ABS data showed that the number of owner-occupied first home buyer loan commitments increased by 3.4% in October, that's season adjusted, to reach 13,481, which was 30% more than any pre-COVID-19 month since 2009, which was when the first home owner grant was temporarily tripled as part of the government's economic stimulus package in response to the global financial crisis. The number of first home buyers also reached the highest number in over a decade, accounting for 42% of the total number of owner-occupied loans issued in October. And the total value of loan commitments for investor housing was unchanged at $5.3 billion. Assistant Treasurer Michael Sukkar noted the record-breaking data, saying today's outcome is yet another endorsement of the effectiveness of HomeBuilder in protecting the jobs of the 1 million Australians in our construction sector and driving our comeback from the COVID-19 recession. The construction industry has said the extension of HomeBuilder will mean a steady pipeline of construction activity through to 2022, which will keep traders on the tools. Mortgage Choice CEO Susan Mitchell welcomed the new figures, stating, "This remarkable result supports the mounting evidence we've seen in recent months that despite the challenges many Australians have faced this year, they are confident in the stability of property as an asset class." The ABS data demonstrates the critical role that fiscal support has played in shielding the nation's housing market from the impact of the economic downturn, with a large part of owner-occupied housing commitments being driven by the government's home builder scheme. And she added, the record low cost of borrowing and unprecedented levels of government stimulus has helped young Australians get their foot on the property ladder. This is welcome news in what will go down in history as a very difficult year. And commenting on the data and on the role of the home builder scheme in driving up the figures, Housing Industry Association economist Andrew Lillycrap said, this is the largest result since the Australian Bureau of Statistics began reporting this data in 2002. HomeBuilder was the catalyst for improving consumer confidence in the housing market. The strength of housing finance data is also due to several factors, including low interest rates. And Master Building Australia CEO Danita Wan echoed those sentiments, stating work on all of these new home building projects is keeping the residential building industry very busy in the lead up to Christmas, and means that 2021 will get off to a very positive start, she said. HomeBuilder is not only meeting its KPIs, but exceeding expectations. And Ms. Wan added that the extension of the HomeBuilder scheme would result in a steady pipeline of new home building and major home renovations in 2022. We will see more of the benefits from HomeBuilder coming over the next few months. This is good news for the businesses in the building supply chain and the people they employ. It is good news for the whole economy, she said. And speaking further about the ABS data, Ms. Lillycrap noted that the number of loans for the purchase of land in the 3 months to October had also doubled compared with the same period last year. This improvement is broad-based and can be seen in varying degrees across all states and territories, she said. We do not expect this to be the peak of the cycle. HIA new home sales data suggests that detached housing finance approvals will continue to be strong over the coming months. The extension of Home Builder will see strong results carried over in 2021. And now let's look at what the ABS reported. Commitments for the construction of new dwellings rose 10.9% and was the largest contributor to the rise in October's owner-occupied housing loans commitments. The value of construction loan commitments has risen by 65.6% since July, which coincides with the June 2020 implementation of the government's Home Builder Grant in response to COVID-19. Feedback from lenders was that there was a large increase in first home buyers applying for these construction loans over the last few months. In October, the number of owner-occupier first home buyer loan commitments increased by 3.4% to reach 13,481 seasonally adjusted, which is more than 30% higher than any pre-COVID month since 2009. The value of owner-occupied home loan commitments rose in all states and territories except Victoria and the ACT. Victorian owner-occupied home loan commitments fell 9.3% in seasonally adjusted terms, reflecting decreased housing market activity in August and September due to COVID-19 stage 4 restrictions in Melbourne and stage 3 in the rest of Victoria. And the value of commitments for existing dwellings and for residential land fell in Victoria. And the total value of loan commitments for investor housing was unchanged at $5.3 billion, and the value of new loan commitments for fixed-term personal finance rose 4.3% in October, seasonally adjusted, as commitments for vehicles continued to recover from the fall in August. The number of owner-occupier first home buyer loan commitments increased 3.4% in seasonally adjusted terms, and the number of first home buyer loan commitments for investment purposes accounted for just 4% of all first home buyer commitments in original terms. An owner-occupier first home buyer loan commitments accounted for 35.3% of all owner-occupier commitments, excluding refinancing, in original terms. But online portal Macro Business headed their report with mortgage growth stalls, and they did also highlight the fall again in business lending. And also noted, firstly, that housing includes loan commitments for dwellings, purchase of residential land, and for alterations and additions. And secondly, there is no seasonally adjusted adjustment or trend data available for the number of owner-occupiers or investors for total housing, as the data was collected from July 2019 onwards. Construction booming, but existing dwellings fell away, they said. And the ABC in their reporting said first home buyers, driven by FOMO, saying earlier this week, the Reserve Bank Governor Philip Lowe told a parliamentary committee it's actually a good time if you're a first home buyer to buy the property you've wanted. But first home buyers may already be one step ahead of him, according to the ABS lending figures. In October, the number of first home owners on owner-occupier loans increased by 13,491, although it was much higher the month before, up 3.4%. The ABS noted this was an enormous jump, up 30% compared to any previous pre-COVID month since 2009. And the ABS pointed out that 11 years ago, the first owner grant was temporarily tripled as part of the Commonwealth government's economic stimulus package in response to the global financial crisis. FOMO, the fear of missing out, must be creeping back into the psyche of first home buyers as they follow the bullish commentary on house prices through to 2020, said Canstar's finance analyst Steve Mickenbecker. Investment lending continues to lag, only 2.8% up from last year. And investors will be looking for lower vacancy rates before they're likely to jump. And that could be quite some time off with the recovery of migration, overseas student stays, and international tourism looking beyond 2021. Construction was also an area of high demand, according to the ABS latest data on home lending. The value of construction loans jumped 10.9% in October compared to the previous month, but since July, it has surged 65.6%. And the ABS observed this coincided with the introduction of the government's Home Builder Grant in June. Home Builder and other construction grants led to a decade-high growth in owner-occupied lending for the construction of dwellings. ANZ economists Adelaide Trimble and Felicity Emmett wrote in a research note. They noted construction loans had skyrocketed by 86% compared to October 2019. In late September, the Morrison government announced plans to water down responsible lending laws to mitigate the effect of the COVID-19 recession. At the time, Treasurer Josh Frydenberg said the changes would significantly cut red tape and would ensure that there would be no unnecessary barriers to households and small businesses wanting to borrow money. On Thursday, the latest GDP figures showed Australia's economy had recovered sharply and was no longer in a technical recession. The primary reason for scrapping responsible lending laws was to free up the flow of credit, Rate City's research director Sally Tindall said, looking at today's lending figures, it's hard to see where the problem is. We don't need to throw out the current legislation and risk people getting into debts they can't afford to repay. And the Australian went all out with Great Housing Dream Lives On, with Simon Benson writing that a revival of the Great Australian Dream is underway as take-up of the $1 billion worth of COVID-19 home builder grants surge well ahead of initial forecasts and new home loan approvals hit record levels. Figures obtained by the Australian show uptake of the government subsidy has already exceeded the initial Treasury estimates of 27,000 by December the 31st to hit 40,000, which is 50% higher than forecast by the end of the year. This record demand is also likely to deliver the Morrison government a political dividend as it seeks to reposition the coalition for the next election under a Menzies era platform as the party for home ownership and first home buyers. Overall home ownership has declined in the past 20 years, peaking in the late 60s and 70s at 70%. According to a recent study of census data, home ownership is forecast to drop by 2040 for those aged between 25 and 55 to below 50%. But then the Housing Minister Michael Sukkar said that the Liberals and the Nationals were the parties of home ownership. We certainly reclaim the mantle as the parties of first home buyers, he said. We understand that every new home built means jobs for tradies. Home Builder is achieving exactly what we wanted it to do. It's igniting the construction industry and has helped to protect the jobs of 1 million Australians right across the sector. So it seems to me this data is largely being spun to support the government's claims of a strong recovery. And sure, when you put free money on the table and cut rates to all-time lows, this is not surprising, but it is also artificial. This is a government-funded and endorsed housing spook. Just remember, loans have to be repaid, and at some point the music is going to stop. I fear that many will get caught in the crossfire. But at least our banks will be protected by the government, so there will be some winners, I guess. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.